So, as Wendy said, we're looking at the 5-market mission. We started last week in Melbourne with you, I think. And you looked at the first one, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And so, there are 5 marks for the mission. The first one.
I am also trying to record.
So the 5-mark commission, they were actually produced in 1984. People were saying, well, what does this word mission, what does it actually mean? So they said, well, first of all, it's to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The second one, they're looking at this week, keep that kind of nurture in your believers. So when we're talking about nurturing plants, nurturing Jesus' faith themselves. The third one, to respond to human need by loving service, caring for our friends and neighbours. The fourth one, to transform unjust structures of society, challenging violence at the time, pursuing peace and reconciliation. So when there's some sort of bigger problem in our world, we actually do something about it and go to our enemy. Let's sort the act a bigger one. And fifthly, the five said to creation and sustain the life of the earth. So looking after the world that God's blessed us with, and making sure that our world is cared for and not destroyed. And Tim Elwood said last week, I'm going to try to watch the recording and listen to what he said. Have a look at our website if you like. Listen again to our sermon. And he said some people have a sort of shortcut for those 5 P's, and they go like this. So the first one is to again then. The first one is to tell people, the second one is to teach you believers, the third one is to tend our friends and neighbours and look after, the fourth one is to transform our society, and the fifth one treasure the creation. Quite a handy short answer to the 5 marks of mission. Let me leave it up for a moment. Think about the word mission. People used to sort of use that word in different ways. I think the first thing people thought about was missionary. If you think about Victorian, well, usually something is in fellowship, going to a far corner of the world, up on the natives about Jesus. But it also happened in Britain. There were also plenty of people in our country who needed to hear the gospel of the good news. And I think we tended to think of poor people in the slums. So good priests would go to the mission churches in the Dandenong area of the last century. So the first aspect that people thought of was that first mark, if you like, the proclaim good news, telling people the gospel about Jesus. And in a sense, what Wendy, the story Wendy told about the cellar, that was in a sense to do with how people responded to that. Would they actually listen? Would they actually hear the good news message that came through? Proclaim the good news. And that is crucial. But someone said practice the key one of these 5 marks of mission. You could say proclaiming the gospel in different ways, different aspects. But the first one is the most obvious, actually telling about Jesus. But for Jesus and his disciples, when we heard our reading from Dominic, Jesus explained a little bit more what we wanted them to do, more than just the proclamation in words. And so Jesus gave them that great commission, not long, but quite comprehensive, all the same. And this is the best statement that we have really of what our mission is. Jesus told his disciples, his parting words were to do this. He said, start it, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I command, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So our mission, and sort of highlighting what some of the important phrases in red. Our mission is to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. But notice it starts with Jesus' sovereign authority. Jesus, risen from the dead, about to ascend to the throne of heaven, and he tells his disciples all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So in other words, he's not making a polite suggestion. He's not pleading with them, please do this. He's not making a sale. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore, which is my command, go and make disciples. And notice the disciples. Notice that word he uses. He doesn't just mean get people to pick pockets and say, church, do it. Get people to sign up and say, yep, that's who me. Doesn't mean just a one-off yes and ticking a box. Disciples mean something a little bit longer term. The word literally means a learner or a follower. It implies just an ongoing process, lifelong learning. Think for a moment about Jesus' disciples, his followers. They spent 3 years with him, day in day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they lived with him. They saw his life, his example, and they learned to follow him. And the Jews had a saying that if you were a disciple following a rabbi, then you had to sit close to him, hang on to his coattails as you like. You had to sit at his feet and lap up his own word. Follow close behind him on the road. And they used to say that the result should be that you would end up covered in the dust from your rabbi's sandals. Wherever he went, you went, and you sort of picked it up, if you like, by absorbing your rabbi's teaching. And that's what Jesus' disciples did day after day, year after year. They picked up from him what it was like to be in the kingdom. So just for a minute, for a moment, how did you come to faith? How did you believe in God? How did it happen to you personally? One of us here will have a different story. For some of us, perhaps, there was one occasion when the penny dropped in fact, and we got it, and we thought, wow, we've never seen it. Perhaps we had some sort of life-changing experience. When the story of St. Paul on the Damascus Road, the sun was a vision from heaven, bright light, loud voice, so bright we felt before. That must have been painful, actually. I don't think how far that went there. But he was obviously taken aback. He was obviously surprised and shocked. Something happens that he just didn't expect. And maybe that happened to you. Maybe you were conscious in that moment of making a choice, making a decision, saying, right, I'm going to dare. And I like to think that when we do that, when we make a big life-changing choice like that, it's a bit like an earthquake happening underneath us. The ground shifts for me. You find yourself in a different place, like the tectonic plates that the geologists talk about. For me, I can remember being in university, and I can remember a special week where they had an 8 days actually of mission talk, a very gifted speaker told us about the Christian faith. And I can remember every single one of those 8 months giving myself to God. This is for me. I wrote that from Paul's a Bible the next day, and I actually wrote in the front of it the date when all that happened, way back, gosh, 40 years ago, a long time ago. But that was really, for me, an important moment of decision, a moment of choice. And I decided that this could be fairly true. And I actually want to follow Jesus. But that's not true for everyone. For some people, it's much more gradual. It's a sort of ongoing thing. And that can take many, many years. But for my wife, Jane, working on the computer over there, getting her off the Christian phone. And although there were special occasions, gradual process of learning. That's a little bit more like St. Peter. Not sure you can ask those, but it took him a few years, didn't it, before the penny dropped. And he grows gradually, year by year. The important thing is that there should come a point where you can say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Because both sorts of people are genuine disciples. Genuine follower of Jesus, whether it happens for a while or whether it happens more gradually. Probably both sorts of people have childhood experiences where they thought, what is that God? What is God in front of so on. All preparing the ground that Raymond talked about in the parable of the sower, if you like, seeking over the soil, in the statement for that moment of faith. And probably also we have experiences afterwards as well. After we come to faith, we also have moments where we think, oh, actually, I've done something now. I've grown a bit in my faith. I'm more of a faithful Christian now. Making it on the stage that if his disciples should be lifelong learners, shouldn't they? So the second mark of mission is teach. That ties as a nurture to you still is. More about the process of the road in place, following the recognition of Jesus. Some of us I know baptize as little babies, but don't remember at all what that's like. And the idea is that we grow in faith as we grow physically, mentally, and emotionally, and so on. But others, maybe come to faith, and that was the first time in the same life. I wasn't baptized as a child, so I'm going to be baptized in the same way. So, maybe they have got me in the same way. I'm saying it's a question about that. I'm not waiting. There we go. So, yes, all of us have practiced the wall in faith, and all of us grow in faith. We need to be mindful. Long to follow Jesus for the rest of our life. Simon said, he said, I'm going to check his life. I'm going to keep his sense. So Jesus said, touch your hands. No problem. Jesus said, raise your left hand. Jesus said, scratch your right. Says people very hard to do with it. Stroke your chest. Not far you, right? Yeah. Jesus said, and he said at the end of the great commission, work on your own. Be sure that I am with you always to the very end. Into that process, the core of the lifelong learning. Stephen calls it the maternity wall, always open for new births and newborn babies. And the plot of Stephen, you probably heard of some of them, like how thorough Christianity is wall, or Bishop Stephen's one that he started pilgrim. So that's how we call sex alive and so on and so on. Some churches have a portion of it called catechesis. It's with that is process of learning about things.
Anybody remember learning their catechism when they were young?
Well, I do, yeah. It's not that very much anymore. But catechism is meant to be learning the next step, not just learning sort of set responsibility, but learning about the world. Gradual growth and understanding and maturity. Learning to trust God in daily life. So have a think for a moment. Is there something that you could have in that program? For somebody you know who's perhaps just sort of beginning in faith or just exploring faith, would you consider pass on some of your experience? And I say pass on your experience because I think every one of us has how God has spoken to us. Every one of us has our own individual learning about God. Some of us are teachers and are good at actually putting it across. But more than experience, we can say this is what it's like for me. And pray for those people who are encouraged. So the five marks of mission, they can be summarized as we tell, teach, and form, and treasure. Five ways to bring in the Father, thank you for Jesus' commission to go to all nations and to make disciples. We ask you that in our place, wherever we are, whoever we know, that we in ourselves might be able to help our friends and neighbors, our relatives, those that we meet with, constantly. Right.